Monday, everybody. We're into another week. The earth is still turning. Iran is still on the map. And Bush is still biting his fingernails, trying to come up with a way to sucker us into a war with that country. But in any case, World War III has not started yet. The economy has not collapsed. Wow. Amazing. I can't believe it. And as far as I know, hell hasn't frozen over yet either. Anyway, got an interesting show lined up for you today. We've got a science researcher, Dennis Peterson, coming on, also an author of an interesting book. We'll be telling you later how you can get it. But he argues, and totally from a scientific standpoint, that you know, there's no basis to evolution, that it's not scientifically viable. One of my favorite topics, of course, we're going to be talking about more than that. We'll be talking about catastrophism, talking about early civilizations and how, you know, all of the earliest of them rose up suddenly. Why? Why is that? There were no precursors to these early civilizations. They just suddenly came up out of nowhere. So we'll be talking about mysteries such as that just after the break when I introduce them. In the meantime, let me just remind you guys that the Aaron Russo DVD, still available here at RBN. Christmas is coming up pretty quick. We're already into October. Unbelievable. Two more months, and we'll be right in the heart of the Christmas season. So get those Aaron Russo DVDs, folks. Make great stocking stuffers. Great way to open people's eyes about Die Neuwelt Ordnung. You can get that for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by going to republicbroadcasting.org, ordering there through PayPal, or by calling 800-724-2719, or by sending a check or money order to the RBN office, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, and that's in Round Rock, Texas, 78664. I was interested to see that my series on Zionism was posted on conspiracycentral.com yesterday. I don't know if it's one of the regular listeners that did that, or did somebody come across it later on, looking through the archives and happened to find it or whatnot, but that was pretty cool to see that. I'm hoping that a lot of people listen to it, you know, through Conspiracy Central, and it helps to strip the facade away about Zionism, because, folks, they've been fooling people for way too long in this country now, and because of it, they have essentially hijacked our government, literally taking control of the entire country, and are bending our military, our political system, our legislature, judiciary, everything toward their own personal design. You know, that's why we've got this hate crimes bill that made it through last week. And certainly many more like it will be coming down the pike unless people wake up and put a stop to these scoundrels, because we've been taken over, guys. The United States government has been, you know, there's been a coup d'etat, let's put it that way. Anyway, if anyone's interested in getting in on the Republic trading in gold, I believe they deal in silver as well, but definitely gold coins, guys, is the way to go. They're basically non-perishable, and they never lose their value. Gold never loses its purchasing power. Never. You realize that. Gold has been stable all through the centuries. It doesn't lose its value. It doesn't rise and fall. What rises and falls is the value of paper currency against the dollar, because paper currency, of course, is a fraud. It's fiat currency. It has no value. So when you see the gold going up and down, it's only because of its relation to gold. Gold remains the same. It's an anchor, if you will. And you can go to republictradinggroup.net or call 800-691-7898. All right, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back with our guest, Peterson, Dennis Peterson.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. Yeah, folks, we're tired of playing foolish games. And one of those foolish games that's been played on us for quite a long time now and continues to be is this dogmatic doctrine, this dogma of evolution. And so we've got our scientific researcher here joining us today, author of a great book, and he'll be telling you how you can get that later in the show, Mr. Dennis Peterson from out in the sunny state of California. Welcome, Dennis.
Hi, Charles. Thank you. It's good to be here with you today.
Yeah, great to have you.
It's so sunny in Northern California today. We're in the northern part of the state between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe, and it's raining.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, so it'll shine. I mean, this is kind of unusual, but, we're back to sunshine in the next few days, I'm sure.
Oh, that's cool. It's actually sunny here, so we get a little trade-off, I guess.
That's all right. You're going to get your share.
Oh, yeah, we always do. We're heading into winter now. Oh, I hate this time of year. It's the end of the summer, and you got shoveling to look forward to.
Yeah, I
understand. But anyway, where to start? There's so much to talk about. Just the whole subject of science, real science, which is far more interesting than the stuff that they teach in the mainstream, our universities and colleges. And they really make science boring, if you ask me. They strip the fun away, and they force you into this, and it's not just because of evolution. There's a whole lot of things that they hold you back with.
One of the things that I found, Charles, is when I was growing up, and I, of course, I went through high school, public high school, I went through college, got a Bachelor of Science degree at the University of California here in Sacramento, and it was a state college then, it's now a university. But, and then I got my master's degree at State University of New York. But I went through all of that study, and it was boring. I mean, trying to go through biology is really boring if you're only looking at it from the dull side that it's just there by accident. But when you can see the brilliance of design, when you can see the brilliance of handcraftedness by an awesome designer, all of a sudden you're free to explore all this wonderful interaction, and it really takes on life and meaning. Now, regardless of the religious issue, that's a separate issue. All of a sudden, you begin to see that there's vitality here. There's intrigue here. There's extreme amount of wonderment here. And that's what's so exciting about studying science.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you're hemmed in, I don't care what the field of study is, when you're hemmed in by preconceived notions, and every field does this, it's in history.
Yeah.
You know, you have to conform to certain ideas about, you know, what has happened in the past. And there's no academic freedom to introduce new ideas or concepts. It doesn't matter how much documentation you have to back up your position. If it doesn't conform with what, you know, the mainstream has embraced as sacred truth, quote unquote, then you're blackballed, blacklisted. Basically, you're out of a job.
Yeah. And see, what secular scientists have done is basically created a religion of their own. And like you said at the beginning, it becomes a dogma that you either adhere to that or you don't get a place in the discussion. And it has become basically an atheistic religion.
Right.
It's just as much a religion because, you see, humans by nature are religious. They're created that way by their designer. And that's why dogs don't communicate in the fascination that we enjoy. It's all about the fact that we are created to explore the universe that God created. And so regardless of the religion that you want to bring into it, I don't care if you're Muslim, Jewish, Christian, or, you know, just kind of social Christian, that's all right. It doesn't matter. You can have any religion you want. But the reality is this creation is here for us to explore, to enjoy, to dialogue about, and to find out all sorts of fascinating, wonderful things.
Yeah, and I love science of all varieties, you know, every aspect of science, and I'm really enjoying these pictures coming back over the past couple of weeks from Cassini. I don't know if you've had a look at them yet.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you know, that's the Saturn exploratory spacecraft there.
Yeah.
And the latest pictures of its moon, Iapetus, just blow my mind. This is a moon that has one side that's white as snow, and the other hemisphere is as black as coal. And the pictures that have come in recently are the best we've had yet. You know, it's gotten really close, within like 1,000 miles of the thing. So these are really sharp, crisp, close-up images. And all that they have done is baffle us even more. They didn't answer any questions. They just raised more. It's just the most bizarre-looking landscapes I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And, the more we learn about science, the more we realize we don't know. We're not so smart as we think we are. And they haven't even proposed any theories yet as to what has caused this difference in color. And, you know, the transition zone between the white side and the black side, it looks splotchy, like someone took a bunch of paint and just splattered it, you know? The strangest thing. But,
intrigued to just review some of the things that I had gathered in my research, because so many of the things that we'd been taught in school, and that is in the public school setting, were based on this erroneous but really outdated idea about Darwin. And we've almost deified Darwin in the public sector because we think that he was like the first scientist was enlightened. Why don't we go back to Isaac Newton? I mean, Darwin made an interesting statement that I quoted in my book. He said, "I feel most deeply that this whole of creation is too profound for intellect. Human intellect. A dog might as well speculate on the mind of Newton. Let each man hope and believe what he can." And then he went on and wrote in another place, "To have the unthinking masses accept all that I say would be calamity." And then he said, "What is true in my book will survive, and that which is error will be blown away as chaff." And I like what he said about natural selection, and that's I've quoted that in another place in my book, because I thought, I never heard this when I was in school. He said this: natural selection is incompetent to account for the incipient stages of useful structures.
Now, and that was the founder of the whole theory himself.
And how is it that natural selection has become such a mantra about, you know, come on, find me one illustration where it works. It doesn't work. Natural selection doesn't produce new kinds, doesn't produce features that move things to a more stronger species or a better ability to survive. It doesn't happen. In fact, I thought it was interesting that Darwin also said this, and I'm quoting from his Origin of Species 6th edition. He said, if it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed which could not possibly have been formed by numerous successive slight modifications, in other words, if it couldn't be formed by numerous slight successive modifications, he said, my theory would absolutely break down. Absolutely break down. And, of course, one of the best that anybody can relate to is the human eye. The human eye with all of its intricacies, and isn't it interesting that Darwin even addressed that? And look what he said. To suppose that the eye, with all its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration, could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest possible degree, unquote. Charles Darwin.
Yeah.
He said the eye could not have happened by natural selection. We know that. There is no way that any scientist can even posit some kind of a way, a theoretical way, that the eye could develop with all of the intricacies, the dependency upon every system.
I talked about this on a previous show. And, you know, the eye is developed with a knowledge of the wavelengths of light in mind. It's set up to be compatible with, as though, you know, how could the eye know what the wavelength of light is to be able to receive it and then turn it into an electrochemical signal, transfer that to the brain in four different forms? Each of your eyes has an optic nerve that splits.
When you look at all those things, and what I've found, Charles, is sometimes people get a little bit emotional, and really the bottom line for their emotion, and we need to be honest enough to examine our own minds and hearts and thoughts and attitudes. The reason for people getting emotional is because of their beliefs, their basic beliefs, regardless of evidence. So what it comes down to is, am I willing to believe what the evidence will lead me to suspect? And that is exactly what Darwin said, that it couldn't happen by itself, couldn't happen by accident, couldn't happen by some long, slow process. It isn't going to happen. You won't find evidence for it in the fossil record. You won't find evidence for it in the living record. There is no evidence in science to suspect that. You have to believe it on sheer faith. Faith that basically rules God out of the equation.
The one thing they like to use is time. Time is the almighty factor in evolution. If you give enough time, then anything can happen. That's the logic they use. But, you know, the illustration I like to give is, if you have a basket of laundry that you just brought up from the basement, and you set it down, and you're kind of lazy, I don't feel like folding that now, I'll come back later and do it. You know, and what if you thought, maybe if I leave it there long enough, maybe it'll fold itself, you know? I don't care how long you wait. You can wait a gazillion years, and that laundry is never going to fold itself. It's only going to get folded when someone actually takes the effort up to fold it. Yep. And so if you can't fathom laundry folding itself, no matter how much time goes by, how can you fathom life and all of its infinitely complex intricacies coming about by chance, no matter how much time you allot?
The point of it is, Charles, you use the word fathom, which means comprehend. You don't fathom or comprehend such a thing. You believe it because you've been programmed by your secular atheistic teaching to say, I do not want to accept what the inevitable is going to lead me to, and that is that there has to be a designer.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we got a short break, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back with Dennis Peterson.
What it's done to me. Lose the love I knew. Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hey, welcome back to True Thirst Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We're joined by Dennis Peterson, author of a book called Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation. Why don't you go ahead, Dennis, and tell them how they can get that book, and then we'll continue with our discussion.
Yeah, Charles, the book is called Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation again, and it was published in 2002. It was actually an upgraded version, all in full color and expanded to double its previous size that had been published for almost 20 years prior to that. And you can get it directly from our website. You can get it from any place that sells books. But you can get it from Amazon. But you can get it directly from our website at www.creationresource.org or just go to Unlocking Mysteries. Unlocking the Mysteries. But creationresource.org will take you right to our site where we'll be able to fulfill your order just right away. And when you do that, it's really important to understand. You can see all sorts of reviews there, and you can see excerpts from it there on the website. But I have found that usually the argument over origins, creation versus evolution, sometimes gets kind of mired down in a lot of technical detail that a lot of people can't relate to. I have made it my life study, and I've been working in this field for over 30 years now, that if we can gel it down to the most basic concepts, visualize it in a way that's very graphic, and give people the nuggets that they really need to get to the source, find out what's going on here, what's the background. A lot of the data that we've compiled in this book has been found in a lot of other places, but you'd have to really dig for it to find it. So we've been able to make it available for everybody to, you know, kind of like put the cookies on the lowest drawer.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't have to get technical to talk about science and to appreciate science. It's kind of like math. You know, math can be technical. You get into those long formulas. But if you just discuss the concepts of it, it's fascinating. You don't have to be a genius to figure out the formulas to appreciate the math for what it is. And the same with science. I think a lot of times people think that scientists must be right in what they're saying just because of the technical jargon that they use, which is beyond their capacity to understand. But it's just not necessary.
Let's kind of take one area of science, and you brought up something earlier. I think it's a good kind of a segue to get into this, and that is they say, well, time can do it. After all, doesn't it, science prove that the Earth is billions of years old and the universe is billions of years old? After all, the Big Bang Theory happened billions of years ago, and after billions of years, let's first of all realize some things. If you just look at the Earth or at the universe, you don't find evidence for billions of years. What you find is evidence that knocks billions of years out of the equation. And this was a shocker for me, because I really had a hard time with that, because I'd been so indoctrinated to think billions of years was true. And so it's sort of like you look at the layers of the Grand Canyon. You think, oh, it takes millions and hundreds of millions of years to accumulate all that dirt, all those rocks. Wait just a minute. Ever occur to you that every one of those layers extends for, in many cases, hundreds of thousands of square miles? Mm. And those layers are nice, neatly laid on top of one another. How would you have those layers develop over millions and hundreds of millions of years and not see any evidence of the layers themselves eroding away between the deposition of each successive layer?
They're laid down flat, one upon another.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, you know what else is laughable, too? You look at a lot of these formations, and today's current erosion rate is pretty high. There's a lot of fossil formations that are eroding several feet per year out in Alaska, for example. Very high erosion rate. And how in the world could they have been there for millions of years? They must have been hundreds of miles high initially.
And you brought up the idea about fossils. When they say fossils, they say, well, fossils are very rare occurrence. That is, the fossilization of some living form is a very rare occurrence. Well, that's true today, but it obviously wasn't true in the past, because sometime in the past you find mass burials of fossilized animals and plants in such huge numbers, like by the billions, whether it's fish fossils in Wyoming or dinosaur fossils in Colorado and Utah and Montana, or whether it's ferns and various kinds of plant fossils that are subtropical in Pennsylvania and Virginia, or you go over to dinosaur fossils over in China. Where you find fossils, the petrified forest in Arizona, you find not just a few, you find them by huge numbers, and they're in mass burials, mass graveyards that extend for, in some cases, thousands of square miles. You don't get that by slow, gradual processes that happened millions of years ago. In fact, what you find, and especially with some of the recent findings in science the last decade or so, that had to happen recently because of DNA that was still identifiable in some of the marrow of the bones of some dinosaur fossils that could not have been there for millions of years. It would have completely dissipated. It would have completely gone away.
Right.
Okay, those kinds of indications tell us more and more, the closer we look at it, that these events that are responsible for the burial of all these fossilized remains happen suddenly, happen on a huge catastrophic scale, not like anything that we see typically going on today. Oh, yeah, we see some catastrophes like the tsunami, like the earthquake, like Mount St. Helens erupting and so forth. But those are minor. As major as they are, they're still minor compared to the catastrophes that were responsible for the burial of mass graveyards of organisms in the past on this planet.
Right. Okay, at that, we got to take a short break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back talking more about what it is that caused these fossils to be buried in mass like this. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Okay, we're back on True Threats Radio. Joined by our guest, Dennis Peterson, author of Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation. So, yeah, we were talking just before the break about the mechanism that caused these sea creatures and land creatures all to be buried en masse in these enormous fossil deposits that in some cases stretch for hundreds of miles. They're scores of feet thick. Obviously, you know, something of a colossal nature had to be the cause of this. In fact, mainstream science has had a major shift, hasn't it, in just the past couple decades, two, almost three decades now, admitting that in the past there had to be calamities such as nothing like what we see today going on.
Yeah, exactly. Even though there is a secular twist to this, the reality is that the earth sciences have started making a shift over the last few decades to recognize what was historically known for years, and that is catastrophism is evident, not what you call uniformitarianism. And uniformitarianism was what I learned in school, which is the idea that Charles Lyell proposed to support Charles Darwin's theory. In fact, Charles Darwin basically took Lyell's thinking and applied it to biology. Charles Lyell preceded Charles Darwin. And that thinking was just that you can have slow, gradual changes in the earth just by an accumulation of processes that are going on like we see happening today. So he came up with a time-worn statement, the present is the key to the past. Well, the present is not the key to the past. The past is the key to the past, and all you have to do is look at the evidence. You go to the Grand Canyon, like we talked about, the layers. The layers do not show evidence of millions of years of stacking where there would have to be erosion that would cause them to be an irregular contact between those layers. It's not there. We see a successive one upon one, just like pancakes, with virtually no erosion between them. Okay, then when you look at the fossils, you find them fossilized in mass graveyards. And again, we can use examples like the Petrified Forest in Arizona, like the fossil fish graveyard bed in Wyoming, the dinosaurs that are found in a variety of places like in China as well as in Montana and in Wyoming, on and on and on. Where you look at coal, the coal beds in Wyoming are amazing. When you look at the, here's a couple hundred feet, and we're talking like between 150 and 200 feet of solid coal vertically that goes for thousands of square miles.
Yeah.
And there's no evidence of any soil in that 150 to 200 feet layer. No soil. How do you get that? You don't get that by some gradual process. You get, and of course it's found in the middle of, the whole thing is all sedimentary. And by definition, sedimentary material is that which has been laid down by water events. Watery events. In other words, we're talking about a watery catastrophic flood bigger than any tsunami, bigger than any hurricane would ever produce by some storm surge, bigger than any kind of a just what we would call a modern upheaval like an earthquake or a volcanic eruption or something like that. We're talking about a literally global event.
And, you know, how about the dinosaur bones they've been finding recently that are only half petrified, they're still bone material, and then when they split them open, they're finding that the marrow inside contains tissue that is still elastic.
Exactly, yeah.
And how did that survive for millions of years?
Yeah, no, it can't. And obvious, any thinking person would concede that can't happen, therefore we have to look for a different explanation. In other words, it's not millions of years old.
I've actually seen one scientist say that, that's not blood cells. I mean, they've taken electron microscope pictures of this fleshy material, and sure enough, everything's there, the blood vessels, the blood cells, all the everything you would expect to see from a live creature, you know, that they just dissected. It's all there. And so because in their belief system that's not possible, they say, well, that's not what it is. It's something else. Well, what? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Of course that's what it is.
Yeah.
It even has its red color. It's retained its red coloring.
Yeah. Yeah. I like because it is so graphic and physical in nature, I like to often relate to things in geology, and of course, one of the things that I enjoyed geology studies. I took several courses in geology. I almost was going to major in geology, and I would have ended up being probably a diehard evolutionist if I hadn't suddenly just stumbled upon all this other stuff that helped me to realize that it's all baloney, this evolution nonsense. And it is, and we need to just simply call it what it is. Come on, let's quit playing games. Evolution is pure bogus, and here's one evidence. And people will get mad just because you even have the nerve to even say something like that. But just look at it. All you got to do is look at the layers and find out how many places on Earth, and there's a lot of them, that show evidence of fossilized trees, petrified trees, that grow through sequential layers or strata of the rock, which supposedly occurred in their deposition over millions of years. How are you going to get a tree to stay in place while millions of years transpire for the sediments to deposit? It won't happen. In other words, all the layers had to be laid down simultaneously while these fossilized trees are being encased. Right there, you're looking at evidence that this had to happen at a catastrophic level suddenly, and the sequence was laid down completely. Now, I'm not saying every sequence was all at the same time. All I'm saying is that most of the sequences that we see around the Earth, with the exception of course, the uppermost, which are some recent, you know, localized or regionalized sequences, but most of the sequences, like what we see largely at the Grand Canyon exposed there by the erosion of the Colorado River, most of those sequences give us clear evidence of a global catastrophic deluge.
Right. And, you know, it's understand, folks, it's secular scientists, that is, scientists that have no religious beliefs, no religious agenda, have themselves acknowledged that this theory does not stand up to close scrutiny. It is not scientific. So, you know, we're not here to sell any, you know, religious agenda. It's just, it's a fact that it's not supportable.
Somebody comes along and why don't we just, I'd like to change gears just a little bit and say, well, but you know what? We know that evolution happened because of what we learn in biology. And, you know, after all, you know, things can kind of grow into different kinds of things. I like to go back to the giraffe because I was taught this in school, and it's absolutely the silliest thing that we've ever been forced to believe. And of course, young kids, they're taught that. They trust their teachers. Their teachers have no reason to be deceiving them. So why would they tell them something that's not true? It must be true. There must be science to back it up. So they say, well, the giraffe, and of course, you know, Darwin had an interesting idea about the giraffe. He said that thus, by this process, long continued, an ordinary hoofed quadruped, in other words, a four-footed creature, a hoofed quadruped, might be converted into a giraffe. And what was the process? By stretching their necks to reach the foliage on tall trees that they couldn't reach. Give me a break. That doesn't happen. How would the baby giraffe survive?
Right.
The whole thing is absolutely ludicrous. And of course, they've got to evolve a tongue. You ever seen a giraffe eat and watch its tongue?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've fed them.
It's fascinating. And you got to evolve a giraffe tongue from some other quadruped tongue, like a deer or an antelope or a cow or who knows what. And you got to evolve all these other intricate things, like the way that the structure of the neck has not only the bones to facilitate it, but also the blood stream, that is the blood capillary system, which is more like a net, and of course the blood flow system that goes through these arteries and veins in the neck, which are very different with little pumping stations along the way, so to speak, because of the way that the walls of those arterial canals are made in the giraffe's neck, different from the animals that don't have that long neck.
Mm.
It all had to happen, of course, just by fortuitous accidents.
You know, what people need to realize is even if a giraffe one day decided, okay, I need a longer tongue to help me eat better, he's not going to pass that on to his offspring. Yeah. It's something that takes place in the genes on the microscopic level. It doesn't take place in the mouth and where the tongue is.
Yeah.
You know?
And then people will say to that, well, it happens because of mutation. And so far, the mutation is the only way that we can get different genetic patterns to form. But mutations are, by and large, damaging. They do not really contribute to the survivability of the creature. They might provide some temporary asset. Like, for example, somebody says, well, sickle cell anemia is a mutation that will prevent black people from getting certain kinds of tropical diseases like malaria. Well, do you think sickle cell anemia is something that any black person really wants to have, even if he does gain the advantage of being able to be immune to malaria? No way!
It's not.
So they use that as an example of evolution in action. Come on! That's not evolution.
So you got to wonder, do these people really believe themselves what they're saying? Are they that gullible, or are they just hoping that you're going to believe it, and yet they know it's not true and laugh about it behind the curtain? I have to wonder.
Yeah. You see, what it has to do, it's a heart issue here. And that's why I like what the Apostle Paul. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, let's not bring religion into this. The Apostle Paul was a very educated man. He was Jewish. That was his religion. But then he suddenly got a revelation from God himself in the form of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden he began to teach opposite to what he'd been brought up. And he made this point over in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. People say, well, let's not get religious. You can't help but realize that there is a spiritual component to this equation, because people will end up asking the question that you just brought up. Why do people believe this nonsense? And the Apostle Paul said, because of the blindness of their heart. They're full of ignorance. It's a heart issue. And that makes them alienated from God. And so their understanding is darkened, and they walk around in the vanity of their minds, and that's the way heathen think. In other words, people who wanted to decide to say God were not permitting you in the equation.
What really jerks my turkey is when they, you know, enforce it on you, that you have to believe it and accept it as fact, and they don't even teach it as theory anymore. That's what really burns me up. You know, it's like it's fact. It's just accepted, and you have to accept. It's not fact. It's anything but fact. There is no facts to back up the so-called fact.
Yeah.
Anyway, we do have a caller. We've got Kevin from Indiana on the line. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Good morning, gentlemen, and I appreciate your endeavors. One of the unintended consequences, though, are you're riling up the people out here. You know, when people believe in evolution, or let's make the jump, you know, on Sunday on the poll, you'll see 80% of the population in the United States believe in aliens. 1 week, the next week, 80% believe in evolution, and then the third week, 80% are Christians. But so people are truly confused. But what it does, I think what you're actually, the unintended consequence is the fact that when the shooting starts, it's going to make it real easy to pull the trigger. Because with all that you're bringing out and all that has been brought out in the past, debunking evolution and debunking aliens and so on and so forth, the people who still believe in evolution, they're going to hell when they die. And so if I can help them on their way more, you know, that's the better off I'll believe they are.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. I don't want to say everybody who believes in that. You know, there's a lot of people who believe a lot of crazy things out of ignorance. There's no question. They were just deceived
Well, I did. Let's face it. I believed a lot of this stuff that we're talking about tonight, whether it's regarding the layers of the Earth or whether it's talking about the evolution of things through gradual mutations. I believed a lot of this stuff. It's only because I was taught that and I had confidence in my teachers that they weren't trying to deceive me.
Right.
And I think we're beyond that now. We're talking about the 1940s and 50s and 60s. Well, this is 2007, and there's no reason why evolution should be taught today. And if it is still being taught, those people are definitely ignorant. I will agree with that. But, you know, God is the one who gives man faith to believe. And if God doesn't give them the faith to believe, I'm sorry, but they're not going up when they die. They're going down.
And that's why I think it's to provide a level playing field, that we should at least do everything we can to make sure that especially young people or people who are open-minded enough can look at the evidence and realize that they have great grounds to pursue their faith. They don't have
Even care that they teach evolution in the schools. I mean, it's a secular institution, so they can teach all the secularism they want, but present it as a theory. This is somebody's idea,
Okay,
but they don't. That's where I have my biggest beef. Right. I don't want to control the public schools any more than I want them to control me and my kids.
Well, I think regardless of whether we talk about the policies of the public school system, what we have is a challenge to be able to get some information into the hands of the public at large.
Yeah,
so they can realize they don't have to leave their brains outside the church door to have a confident faith.
Well, what I've done, gentlemen, is I've built a low power, which is not low power anymore, but it's a micro FM, and I'm covering 3,600 square miles here in northwest Indiana, right outside of Chicago. And so your program is being spread far and wide this morning. But it like I say, if the people, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But I just wanted to say that I'm really proud to have you guys on the air this morning, because you really are coming across incredible. So just thank you very much, and thanks for the programming that you give me to rebroadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. And you're absolutely right, Kevin, and that is, it is truly a matter of God's sovereign power to be able to give people the faith to believe. But you know what? The first step sometimes is for somebody to have their eyes open and say, hey, you know what? That's something to think about. I never thought about that before.
Yep, and
if we can provide them some fodder, some grist for the mill, so to speak, so they can start thinking in those dimensions, then wonderful that we can do that.
Yep. Well, thanks again for your programming.
Thanks, Kevin.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
Okay, I guess we have another call. Wow. phones are ringing off the hook today. We got John in Oregon. John, welcome to the show.
You know, I was I've been looking at the evolution thing for quite a while, and I'm by no means any expert, but I've collected a lot of amateur data, and the things I've noticed, it seems to that evolution violates the first and second law of thermodynamics, at least those two. It violates the laws of biogenesis. And then when you look back, they say, well, dinosaurs existed 65 million years ago, and humans existed, came onto the scene, or humanoids, 2 million years ago. Well, that leaves you a space of about 63 million years for this evolutionary process to take place. Now, we have museums full of dinosaur bones all over the world, but we don't have one single solitary museum out there anywhere that shows 63 million years worth of evolutionary species evolving. There's nothing.
Very true. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, but John, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hey, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Hello, Giuliani. We've got John calling in from Oregon. Very good point, John. You don't see this this evolutionary chart. Where do they get the dinosaurs? In fact, now they're saying dinosaurs originated from birds. Well, that's quite a stretch, isn't it? We jumped right from birds into dinosaurs. Funny that the birds are still here and the dinosaurs are gone, though.
Yeah. There's a lot of things we don't know. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things we don't know, you know, and it seems to me ultimately that none of us can really prove either way whether evolution or creation happened. But all I'm saying is it can't be evolution. I mean, just based on just evidence available. We don't see the evidence.
Well, you mentioned, John, you know, regarding biogenesis, and that's one very important argument, but I look at the biggest argument that I think any scientist and any scientific student can bring up, and that is cause and effect. You never get a greater effect from a lesser cause. The cause has to have a superior power and ability to produce an effect. And cause and effect on the whole subject of evolution requires there to be a designer, requires there to be, you know, we're talking about evolution pure and simple. The most basic argument is that all of this intricacy that we call life, all the intricacy that we see in the orderliness of the heavens, the planets, the stars, and so forth, all of it, even just when it, you know, comes down to basic physics, all this order could not be an effect that is was caused by something that was just random. Can't happen.
Yeah, it's just totally ridiculous. It is.
End of discussion.
And, you know, I'd like to point this out, too. For every single species that exists on Earth, plants, animals combined, I mean, this is what? Multiplied hundreds of millions of different species. So we're not just dealing with one-time chance accident. There had to be hundreds of millions of one-time chance accidents, and they had to happen twice for every species. You had to have a male and a female both arising at the same time with all of their organs fully functioning. You can't have a heart without a liver and a liver without a heart and brain. You've got to have all the organs working together compatibly. And it has to be the same for the male and the female, and they have to have sex organs that produce reproductive cells that are compatible with one another at the exact same time. Then when you get symbiotic relationships, like bees depending on flowers, now you're going to have all these species of flowers arising at the same time that the bees are arising, male and female each.
And Charles, what you just said, those last two paragraphs or whatever you said in those last several sentences, some people will miss the whole content of what you said, because you said something at the beginning which is in error, and I want to just point it out, because this is often a tactic that people's brains seem to go into by default. You said hundreds of millions of species. That isn't true. There's only about 1 million species on the planet today. 1 million is a lot. That's a big number. But even with 1 million, the reality of the rest of what you just said is absolutely quantifiable. You look at the evidence, you cannot miss it.
Is there only 1 million species of plants, animals, everything combined?
It's roughly just about 1 million. Some people
say
it's
that's still
a little under a million.
Large number.
Yeah, that is a huge number. But the thing of it is, sometimes because somebody like you or I will be, you know, in our enthusiasm for our subject, we'll spout off a number. You will say, you know, thousands when we should say hundreds, or we'll say millions when we should say thousands, and something like that.
I didn't have the statistic down
people,
there. But
the thing is, people will pick at that, and they'll focus on that point, and they'll miss the bigger point.
Right. I tell you what, we're going
to
go like a break.
We have to help people. Okay, let's get on the same page. Let's get calm here, and let's talk about reality when it comes to science.
There you go. All right, John, if you want to hold on, feel free to do so. We'll be right back, and then we're going to go to Charlene and Mike. We've got a couple of the callers waiting in the queue, so stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
It's true.